This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Pete Dillon.
Good evening, Serena Ryan. This is indeed Salt and Pepper on your Tuesday night going to sleep program.
It is. A quick shout out to Kathy Anderson for filling in for me last week. Very good of her to step in.
You were missed.
Did you have a good show? Because I have to say I was down for the count. I hadn't listened.
It was a good show. It was a different show. And I think that you and I have quite a nice model. And when we bring anybody else in our place, then it's never going to be the same show. So we dropped a couple of bits. We had some other bits and pieces. We threw in some longer stories and that
Fantastic.
Sort of thing. So it was a terrific show, but it just wasn't the same.
I know. I felt a bit bad, actually. It was so good of Kath to jump in, but I had a little wisdom tooth out.
Mm. So how is your face?
Look, it's really good. I mean, apart from being sore for the day and a little bit drowsy from the painkillers, I had it out in the chair, you know. It took 10 minutes. Mm. It was really not a big deal, but I did pull up a bit sore.
Did you get some nice medications?
Oh, look, I didn't. I just got some Panadine Extra. But, you know, a liberal dose of wine helped me out. But basically my dentist told me I wasn't allowed to talk for the day. That was a very big ask.
Did you say thank you, Jesus?
No, but everybody else did. Look, we've got a really good show tonight. We're going to be chatting with Lisa Daniel, who's the director of the Melbourne Queer Film Fest, around some issues with a
lack of financial rigour.
She's done an interview with Same. We're going to pick that up and run with it tonight. We're going to talk everything from politicians to Gloria Jeans to
sport.
Stuff happening in the US, a bit of sport, because the Olympics are on. Oh, my God.
This is why I look like I've been dragged backwards in a hedge. I've not had much sleep.
Really? You're quite committed?
Oh, I'm very committed. You know, I'm up at 4:30 in the morning to watch some swimming and catch those finals, because it's just such a ridiculous time difference. And I don't want to wait until 8 o'clock when I have seen everything on Twitter and Facebook.
And catch the highlights. Mm. I haven't yet committed, I've got to say, because it's just a bit too early for me. But I'm quite happy to watch the evening stuff. I'm really committed to that for about an hour or two. And then I just go, oh my God,
I'll watch generally until about, 11 o'clock. And then I'm up again at 4:30. So I'm just lacking a little bit of sleep. Thankfully, I'm going on a holiday very shortly.
Well, we both are. Mm. We're coming up for a holiday in the third week of August. We're both taking, you're taking 2 weeks out and I'm taking...
I'll actually be gone for 3 programs, I think.
Really? Lucky you.
I go next Friday, so next week is my last program with you for a few weeks.
Awesome. Home alone. Woohoo! Look at me go. I have to see if Noni's in town and get her to get her ass in
here.
Well,
I'm sure Kath will come in and do a show with you as well. She's good.
We might get a girl.
Get an all-girl crew.
Yeah, get an all-girl crew.
Play some nice girls' music.
Oh, no. We'll play what we normally play. We'll keep it real. People are listening. Yes. Look, we're going to kick off with a song. It's a reworked version of Dancing Queen by a band called Whitley.
Mm-hmm.
Some Like a Version.
Yes.
And it's a dandy little song.
This Like a Version is featuring on this program every week.
Quite heavily. Enjoy.
Melbourne's most lovable station is now giving you more reasons to listen. Joy 94.9.
A nice little song.
That was a beautiful little song by Whitley, a lovely little reworking of Dancing Queen.
And I'm playing another from that CD later, we're playing another from that CD later, and it's another goodie, another reworked version of something I quite like.
Yeah,
it's a bit of Bruce Springsteen. We're going to do something on
I do like a bit
lines.
Of Bruce.
Bit of Bruce. Anyway, we also like a bit of Lisa Daniel, who is
do.
In the studio with us right now.
Director only a bit.
Of, only a bit. Just, you know, all things in good portions. Director
Everything
of MQ,
in moderation, yes, Mum used to say.
Including moderation is what Oscar Wilde used to say.
Yes, indeed.
So thanks for joining us. It's really late.
Evening.
We know it's kind of,
I know,
you know, it's creeping up to
3 hours past my bedtime. Seriously. I've turned into a 7:30 person.
Really?
PM.
Oh,
I know, it's tragic.
Wait till summer comes. You're going to be completely buggered with that.
Yeah, no, she'll be whinging about the daylight saving.
Oh,
and the sunlight.
The curtains and the chickens don't know what to do.
Chickens don't
know.
Yeah,
confusing
what,
the dogs.
Look, let's move on to the reason we actually have Lisa here. reported in the last few days a story broken by Travis De Jonk.
Yes.
De Jonk, De Jonk.
De Jonk, De Jonk.
I think he answers to De Jonk. De Jonk. Quite happily.
Who is an LGBT journalist who's sort of opened up a Pandora's box with regard to the Also Foundation and perhaps a bit of a lack of financial rigour. And MQFF, the organisation of which you are the director, has been a little bit stung. Do you want to talk us through just a sort of broad brushstroke of the story?
Yeah, look, to cut a long story short, I might start at the start. So for listeners who don't know, Queer Film used to be at the VAC offices in Claremont Street, South Yarra. And a number of years ago, for whatever reason, we needed to move out of there. City of Melbourne came up with this fantastic city village, which we're sitting in at the moment, level 9.
It's where Joy lives.
Mm-hmm. Which where Joy lives. There's Fringe, there's Melbourne International Film
Group
Festival.
Group Media. Yep.
All sorts of fantastic organisations, including, of course, Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Also approached us, and they were also at the Claremont Street offices. And so a few of us had to leave. So there was Switchboard and us, ourselves, and a few little sort of community groups here and there. And they basically offered to be the contact group for the City of Melbourne, so that we all wouldn't have to be signing separate leases and, you know, dealing with that sort of stuff.
We're all argy-bargy with
paperwork. All that sort of stuff. And
on paper, that seems like a good idea. It seems efficient and organisationally sound.
Yeah, I'm not sure of the legalities in terms of the City of Melbourne and subletting. I don't think that's part of their brief, but for whatever reason, the City of Melbourne just didn't really worry about that. To their credit, they were just like, yes, these are small organisations with very few staff, often run by volunteers. Let's just go with Also. So we had paperwork floating back and forward, delivered by the current management at the time and the board.
What's the time frame on this? Sorry to interrupt.
We're talking August 2008.
Okay, so this is a four-year process.
4 years ago, yeah. Basically, there was an offer of, you know, Also will subsidise your rent in exchange for, say, $10,000 of in-kind sponsorship. We get to use photocopiers and fax machine and that sort of thing. And we kept sort of asking for the figures from the City of Melbourne as to how much the meterage was per square metre and that sort of thing. Anyway, it wasn't forthcoming. We're a small organisation, two part-time employees, probably didn't follow our duty of care by checking up on that. It just kind of slid. The festival came, we got busy, we moved in, we started paying rent, and we just didn't think of it. We, you know, I suppose naively we just trusted.
Were you acting in good faith, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because absolutely.
We're all part of the faith.
That's right.
And
yeah.
You'd think that the whole gay thing would bond us together.
Look, I guess so, maybe naively. And, you know, we do take responsibility for that duty of care not happening at the time. Shocked to find out, now that Also is in, let's be honest, trouble, I guess, in terms of its structure and whether it's going to...
It's been a nice way of putting it.
Well, they've been in trouble for quite some time. And we know
they've pulled
up stumps now and they're operating out of Smith Street
out
now,
of their
old
shop.
Yeah, which I hear has got a Felice sign on the front.
I heard that also, yeah.
Look, I don't know if that's true and I don't want to just sort of be spreading this.
It's publicly known there have been some issues around financial rigour and all of that, some fiscal or a lack of fiscal responsibility with the organisation.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the last at least 12 months there's been discussion.
Yeah, so quite a few months ago, we thought, you know, in terms of being responsible at Queer Film, we thought the safe thing to do would be to approach City of Melbourne ourselves and have our lease written up directly with them. Because we weren't sure what was happening with Also.
That's fantastic.
We weren't sure if they would collapse. We weren't sure what then would happen to us. So we approached them and, you know, bureaucracy, things took time. And I think about a month ago, like quite recently really, only 3 weeks to a month ago, we finally got the figures from the City of Melbourne, who were happy to just deal with us directly and, you know, were basically seeing Also leave Level 8. And we were shocked to discover that despite the fact that we wanted more space, we were actually now being charged about $6,000 a year less. So in effect, we'd basically been subsidising Also's rent for the past 4 years.
Wow.
Plus giving them what was 1 year at $10,000 in-kind sponsorship.
So what's the total price that you're out of pocket if you count in-kind and the overcharge?
If you count, well, the overcharge itself is around about between, look, it's hard to pinpoint because we still don't have the per square meterage figures.
Sure.
I don't know what's happened to the Also paperwork. We never signed it. We've got an unsigned copy in our file. So look, in terms of cash and overcharging and rent, it's probably between $20,000 and $30,000.
Wow.
And in terms of the in-kind sponsorship, probably around about $30,000 or $40,000. But, you know, let's just forget about the in-kind stuff. I mean, they did get their $10,000 worth of, you know, logos and
trailers. So you upheld your end of the bargain.
Absolutely, yeah, of course we did. And, you know, just that, you know, looking back now at the memorandum of understanding, you know, there was that terminology in there that Also would be subsidising our rent there. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, we used to happily and in good faith thank also at our speeches and blah, blah, blah. And in the meantime, what we've found is that, and the City of Melbourne was shocked to discover also that we had been, you know, basically being, I guess the term could be gouged for rent. Switchboard have had the same experience, but to a much, much smaller dollar amount.
But the underlying principle is still equally as revolting.
Yes, yeah, and it is hard to now find someone who will speak about it. I mean, you can't even really contact anyone at all, so because there's no one there. Mm-hmm. There's certainly no one left on level 8. They have been sort of moving out gradually over the past couple of weeks. A lot of the groups that they have left, you know, they've had hot desks for, you know, people like Y Gender, Ben TV. They're all, you know, minus 18 are actually in the process of renegotiating their rent as we speak, directly with the City of Melbourne. So I think they'll be fine.
And the anti-violence project?
Well, as far as I know, hopefully they're renegotiating rent, yes. But, you know, all those organisations didn't find out until very, very late in the piece, or even when I'd actually left, they were sort of finding out that, oh, what's happening on level 8? Well, no one knew. And
it's unbelievable.
You know, we weren't even told things like, you know, we were getting people ringing our office and saying, well, we can't contact the Also Foundation. Do you know what's happened? And it was kind of embarrassing to not be able to say, oh, you know, they've gone to the op shop and this is, because we weren't told. Well, like, we weren't given an official story that we could pass on.
Because you need an official statement.
Absolutely.
Really?
This has been nothing
to
the public.
And they're yet to declare that. Pete's got a question.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, we are speaking with Lisa Daniels. She's the director of the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, all around the financial or lack of financial rigour from the Also Foundation. How much of a difference would that between $20,000 and $30,000 that you've overpaid in the last 4 years have made to the MQFF as far as the delivery of a festival?
Oh, massive. I mean, we basically made and budgeted for a loss of about $20,000 this year because for the first time ever we employed a full-time general manager, mm-hmm. which was a huge commitment and a huge risk for us. It didn't quite pan out in terms of getting commercial sponsorship, so we did take a loss. Mm-hmm. So, you know, right there we would have not made that loss. Mm. You know, and it's, you know, you're talking film quality, you're talking, you know, right across the board. I mean,
that's the brand.
That's an awful lot of money for a not-for-profit organisation. Festivals are not cheap to run. You know, when we make a profit, we're talking $2,000 or $3,000.
Right.
So you only need one little thing to go wrong. You know,
sort of a house of cards, isn't it?
It is, very much so. I mean, we're responsible. We have money in reserve. If for whatever reason the 2013 festival couldn't take place, we have enough in reserve to have a 2014 festival.
Great.
But in terms of financial profit and loss, this year we made a loss.
It's kicked you in the guts a bit.
Yeah, it has. You know, let's be honest. It really has.
So moving forward, you know, what's your process from here on out? Will you, and you may or may not be able to reveal this on air, but does MQFF plan to extract those funds back or
to lodge
any sort of process of a legal nature, or is the
horse there's no funds to be had? I mean, yeah. I would hope that the also staff would be paid before anything. I'm not sure what's happening there. I can't make accusations in that area. But I'm absolutely certain there is no money to be had for us. You know, that money's now gone. We'll have to take that into account in our next couple of festivals in terms of budgeting. The good news is that we now have we have more space in our office and it's $6,000 cheaper.
For it, yeah.
So, you know, $6,000, that's around about six features, six feature films, maybe sort of four features, depending on how expensive they are. And, you know, sort of chatting to, when I can talk to someone from also, the difficult thing is that there's lots and lots of denials and lots of, you know, the current organisation or the outgoing organisation didn't necessarily set that system up, but I find it incredible that the people that have been there over the past 3 to 4 years didn't pick that up.
Mm.
And
I wonder what the level of collusion has been. Has it, you know, rotted from the top? Or it's certainly, you know, any dealings that I've had with them in the past, it's always struck me as a bit peculiar that the left hand doesn't always know what the right hand's doing.
And the bigger issue is that they've been governed by a board, also has a board
and
that governs them.
What's the board's
them,
role in this?
Well, there's a complete, obviously, lack of rigour in any sort
there's
of...
There's no governance.
Governance, exactly.
Yeah,
so.
Look, one of the problems that did strike us was that Daniel Perkins, the outgoing president... And the public officer recently made a comment to a public statement, a media statement to Travis De Jonge, saying that Queer Film was aware of the fact that we were subsidising other community groups using Level 8, and that is absolutely categorically not true. So,
because why would you choose to do that if you want to keep your own bottom line
healthy? We'd love
healthy?
To. Mm. We just can't afford it.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, well, that's the reality, the financial
if we could
reality
do that,
of it.
We would so love to do that, but we can't do that responsibly anyway.
And Daniel has stated that no one was ever kept in the dark about charges, and that it was openly negotiated for those groups who could afford it to contribute to the rent of the space and the associated bills, and that groups who could afford to contribute, such as MQFF, in essence helped subsidise the space so that we could offer it to community groups for free.
That is categorically incorrect, I mean, I have documents which say, in memorandums of understanding, the Also Foundation will be subsidising queer films rent. The complete opposite to what Daniel said. I don't know why he said that.
I suspect there's a fair amount of face-saving going on at the moment. But
and I think this spells the death knell for...
I think
for also,
does.
You know, it was teetering on the brink for some time.
Well, we've been following the Also issue and its demise and calling for some sort of forensic rigour in its accounting practices probably for over 12 months now, haven't we?
Yeah,
so
indeed,
it's really interesting that this has come to light. And it's a dreadful shame for MQFF, but...
Well, you know, it is for us, but in the biggest scheme of things, I feel absolutely sick in my stomach for the people who have contributed to the organisation over the years, and certainly early on when it was first created, and the reasons it was created. You know, a lot of people left money in their wills and that sort of thing, and that is now
completely gone.
I'm remembering
and the legacy of those donations is gone.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, look, there's over the various organisational management. Also has been a fantastic organisation for a variety of people and a variety of community groups, but unfortunately, in recent times, it certainly has. You know, completely lost its way. There is no money left, and I think...
Which is scary, because I convened the lobby back into the Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby back in 2005, and there was, you know, a considerable amount of money that Also had at that point. And, you know, we worked in concert with them on a number of projects, and Also were always quite willing to support the lobby financially when it was needed. So to see that that's now just, and you know, there was two different funds in Also. I think we probably need to look a little more into some of these financial practices and see if we can't continue to open up the can of worms and see who really has been affected. And as you say, Serena, the legacy of those people that had supported the organisation and donated to the organisation is all but gone.
It's a lesson in governance, I think, as
it
well.
It is.
Absolutely. For queer film too, to be, you know, we certainly wouldn't be... that slack about, you know, following up on that sort of thing in the future. I guess it's kicked us in the guts a little bit in terms of trust, but probably in a good way. I think
is that the thing that comes out of it for you?
For us. Definitely. You've got, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, these things are fairly common in, you know, resource poor organisations, but
there is
a lot of
robbing to Peter to pay Paul, but this is
just
far bigger
Peter
than that.
And
it's just robbing Peter. It's just they're just on the rob. Look, Lisa Daniel, thank you so much for coming in so late tonight.
We really
enjoyed
your time.
Chatting to you, and we wish you all the best for future festivals. Come back and see us again.
We'll do.
Thanks, love.
Cheers.
That was the lovely Lisa Daniel, the director of MQFF, the Melbourne Queer Film Fest.
I think we might keep following that up, because there's some rumour and some innuendo that probably needs to be follow up around the rest of what's happening with the Also Foundation.
Having a bit of a choke there, love.
I was just choking on my own ear.
Oh,
you know when
gosh.
I wasn't sure if I was going to cough, sneeze, or wet myself. Look, we need to get through
a triple.
To the yes.
Let's get on with the rest of the news. And there's a member of Parliament in Sydney's West who's indicated he will vote against marriage equality. Fair enough. But even so, he recognises and blasts the homophobic rants when he sees them. So it's the outer Sydney suburb of Chifley, home to suburbs like Blacktown, Mount Druitt, Rooty Hill and more.
I love the name Rooty
Hill. Rooty
Hill's
fabulous.
It always makes me think of Roy and HG, because everything was done at the Rooty Hill RSL.
Love those guys. Mm. Anyway, these suburbs have been assaulted with a leaflet, which is basically it's claiming quite clearly that same-sex marriage is bad for children.
Mm.
Okay? So the flyer reads, "Our local politician, Ed Husick, is being pressured by the gay lobby to vote for gay marriage. We need to tell him the local community says no. Kids should have a male and a female role model. Schools and childcare soon will have gay-friendly storybooks. Religions will be pushed into offering same-sex marriages." Oh, gee.
Nothing like drawing a long bow on some of these ideas, is there?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, every library should stock gay-friendly stuff. I mean, this is progress.
Yes.
You know? So, look, he says that he's not opposed to same-sex marriage, but he's not going to support it because he'll represent his
electorate. His constituents, yes.
And he believes that the community isn't ready to accept the concept. It's not a concept, mate.
No. Look, we are not fans of him. Now, Moving to another organisation of a Christian nature, we wanted to talk about Gloria Jean's. The brand continues to deal with the fallout from its donations to equality fighting groups, meaning those that hate groups, I'll call them. Mm. And its marketing whiz chief executive has been shuffled out and a dramatic restructure of the business has been planned.
Mm. Nothing I wonder what
would
that means.
Nothing would make me more joyful than to see Gloria Jean's go down.
The gurgler.
Yes.
So,
well, I was going to say something else. But
there's a letter's gone out to the franchisees.
Yes.
And the executive chairman, who's also a Hillsong Church elder, yes, his name is Gareth Pike, has been let go as part of the chain's leadership team. Mm. And their statement says that he's decided to move on to pursue other, I was going to say homophobic opportunities, but that was just a little dialogue in my head.
Sexual opportunities.
Look, you know, he's... you know, he's done very well.
Maybe I should apply for the job as the chief executive of
the marketing whiz. Go and get your marketing on and your marketing hat. And look, you know, the fallout from the $30,000 donation to the marriage equality blocking campaign by the Australian Christian Lobby has really, I mean, this is a real, it's really sunk him, I think. So
look, and it continues to damage their brand.
Look, their brand is just, it's struggling. I mean, I have, everybody I know, I've asked them to boycott Gloria Jean's.
I see people that I know drinking Gloria Jean's and I spit at them.
I march up to them and say, do you know what you're drinking? You're drinking homophobia.
Look, I want to talk about Immigration Minister Chris Bowen because I'm quite surprised. He represents the electorate of McMahon, again in a similar region, northwest Sydney. Which, you know, quite frankly, it's the home of the God Squad. There are a lot of evangelical and fundamentalist Christian organisations in his electorate. And he has revealed that he won't be supporting marriage equality when it comes to a vote in the House of Reps later this year. And he says, I have decided not to support the bill to legalise same-sex marriage. There are two reasons for the decision. Firstly, the party went to the last election with a clear policy on the legal definition of marriage.
Which they
then
changed.
Which has since been changed. Mm. And, you know, Julia can change mine and everything else. I'm sure she can change mine on this one. He also states that many in his community have explained to me the great importance they place on the traditional definition of marriage. I had a little bit of a look on the interwebs to try and do some comparisons on divorce rates for various areas of Sydney. And it's interesting that the divorce rate in this electorate is one of the highest across the inner regions of Sydney and New South Wales.
So the traditional concept of marriage and its preciousness of its sanctity is perhaps not reflected in those divorce figures.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always struggle when people say that because, you know, the community explains the great importance they place on the traditional definition of marriage.
Blah, blah, blah.
I mean, that's simply their opinion. Mm. I just wish they would expand their minds to think about the importance of that for us.
Mm.
And that's all we're asking them to do. We're not asking them to marry us.
No, we're not asking them to bring flowers to the church. You know, and as you say, this is just opinion, and opinions are like a bum hole. Everybody's got one.
Mm, I thought you were going to say something a bit more crude then. Speaking of crude, let's go to Queensland. Did you like that?
Look at the segues. They're unbelievable.
We're on fire tonight. There's a new lobby group, and we've been following this mob for a little bit now. They're called Queenslanders for Equality, and spearheaded by outspoken Queensland psychologist and gay and lesbian activist Paul Martin, who we've chatted to before.
Yes.
He's launched a new campaign over the weekend to begin lobbying against the state government's validation of homophobic attitudes. So we know that Campbell Newman's come in, and since March he's cutting funding to gay health.
Well, he's just cutting the guts out of anything that's gay.
Anything that's got, you know, the whiff of lavender about it,
but
he's eliminating it.
He's also not supporting the NDIS, which is his... And Queensland currently has the lowest amount of funds to anybody who's disabled. So, you know, let's just take the marginalised and the oppressed, and let's
anybody
marginalise and oppress them a bit more.
Anyone who's a bit different. Mm. So, look, you know, Martin has... he's presented a petition to the opposition leader, and Anastasia Palaszczuk.
Palaszczuk, yes.
Palaszczuk, oh gosh.
Nicely done.
Late at night, I didn't think I'd get there.
She's the opposition leader.
Yeah, so for Labor.
Yes.
So 5,000 signatures protesting the proposed changes to the Surrogacy Act, and she's promised to table it in Parliament. Mm. So look, we'd like people to log on and get behind the Queenslanders for Equality.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure they've got a Facebook page.
They do have.
And we'd like them just to log on and pledge their support, sign the petition, let's continue to make some noise.
Yes.
And let's tweet about it. You can tweet us.
Your favourite search engine, perhaps.
Also, you can tweet at Salt N Pepper Joy. And we will certainly forward those tweets on. We will retweet them. So if you've got something you want to say in support of this mob, then we will happily help you promote
for sure.
that.
Now, this we did cover this story last week, and you and I have talked about this story for some time.
The gay panic defence stuff?
The gay panic defence. We did speak to the priest in the St Mary's in Maryborough last week about Father Paul Kelly, because this happened in his church grounds. Mm-hmm. The former partner of Richard Meerdink, who was, along with Andrew Pearce, bashed to death this fellow, who it turns out was not gay and turns out did not make any advance. Even though they did use this gay panic defence, she is now, Karen Horgan, who is the former partner, has joined the growing campaign to have Queensland's gay panic law abolished. So she's in a relationship with this chap. He literally beat somebody to death. And she has come out in support. And I think this is sending a very strong message. There's over 200,000 signatures now that have signed Father Paul Kelly's petition calling on the Queensland government to essentially get rid of the gay panic defence. It was mooted by the former Labor government under Anna Bligh, but along with everything else in Queensland, Campbell Newman and Jared Blahier have just said, no, we're going to do our own thing.
It's not great. Look, I mean, you know, there's some good news coming out this week, but largely it's you know, probably the only good national news items that we're reporting this week is around this wonderful group in Queensland for Equality
and the change of the,
Gloria Jeans, which is really nice. Look, I think we're probably ready for a song before we hit some Noni. What do you reckon?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
It's the perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9.
We are indeed, and we have the lovely dulcet tones and in-person Noni Hazelhurst with us tonight.
And
how are you, darling?
Wearing the same jacket you were wearing last week because you might have come.
There were some concerns around that jacket. Did you? Probably a good call. How are you?
I'm very well. You'll probably pick it up at the Salvo, actually.
She'll be down at Savers.
Oh, we're boycotting the Salvos, remember?
Right. Yes, no.
Yeah, we're right off
there. Savers. They look after diabetes and kids, funnily enough.
Oh, there you go, love. There you go.
Now, we're midway through a season of religion.
We're midway through winter, which we talked about only recently, and our associated feelings for it. Yes. Seems only logical in winter we should be talking about the religion that is football.
Yes, because we also had a discussion with you a few weeks ago about religion. So combine religion and winter together, and here we have, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the AFL broadcast with Noni Hazelhurst.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
That's a first for you, isn't it?
Football. Well, no, when I did a bit of sitting in for Stubbsy, I had to talk to McAvaney.
Oh, yes, Bruce.
And pretend that I knew what I was talking about then, which I didn't.
But that's why you have producers on radio, so that they can give you the information.
Well, that's
right.
Stuff to read.
Yes,
yeah.
I was able to, you know, salt and pepper it with certain revelations that someone had written in my notes. Oh, and of course, Geelong's without Badoodaloo this week.
How do you feel about football?
I couldn't care less.
Are you a sporting...
No.
You don't care for sport at all?
Oh, I quite like watching, you know, some things.
Paint dry.
Because the Olympics start in just a couple of weeks, and you know, we're almost
I'm
in
so
the thick of Wimbledon
as
we speak. So
I like watching certain players and participants. I yelled for Cadell and did all that.
Oh, I didn't yell for him at all.
Well, there you go.
I don't think cycling's a sport, nor is he a hero. There, I said it.
I don't think he's a hero, not by any stretch of the imagination.
Is a sport, though.
Cycling is a very demanding sport.
Yeah. I don't doubt that it's demanding, I just don't consider it a sport.
What do you consider
ribbon
a sport?
Dancing is?
A pain in the ass is cycling. What do I consider sport? Basketball, swimming, rowing.
Well, if cycling's
football.
A sport, if cycling's not a sport, one would say that swimming shouldn't be a sport either.
And ribbon dancing shouldn't be a sport.
You know, ribbon dancing, oh my God.
Synchronised swimming should not be a sport.
Oh, that's just someone who knows how to hold their breath. I can do that. Jump in the local pool.
There's some other bits and pieces that I think are part of the Olympics. I would like to see darts brought into the Olympics. I think
only if it involves beer.
And smoking.
And it's in a pub.
Yeah.
Awesome. With Roy and HG comparing it. Mm. Yeah, look, I'd be all over that.
What was
Baby
John Burgess trying to get into as an Olympic thing?
Something with an old age flavour.
No. It was some weird sport that he was trying to promote as an Olympic.
Pocket boodle. Pocket.
Fiddling.
No.
He's
pocket
trying to
bowls.
Demonstrate, folks.
No.
Billiards.
Oh, pocket
snooker.
Billiards. Yeah. Pocket snooker.
Yeah, you see, when you do those gestures, our listeners at home don't actually know. No. They just think that you're doing something saucy in the studio. He wasn't.
Which I generally try not to do in the presence of ladies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I like soccer, but I'm not a fan of AFL. I went to a match about a year and a half ago, and I hadn't been for about 30 years to the football.
I went to a grand
final.
Who
did you see?
I can't even remember.
It was probably Collingwood. That's why I didn't
no,
like
no,
it.
No, 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 no. What I could not, believe was the number of little yellow people running on the field. And
the maggots, as we call them.
Yeah, and how the game has changed so much. I don't know. I just don't. It's a bunch of guys kicking a bag of wind around.
It's become a little bit polite for me. When I was a kid, I used to go to the Derby games with my best friend, Natalie. Now, her family barracked for South Fremantle and we barracked for East Fremantle. And Nat and I would sit at the front and her mum and her granny would sit at the back. Granny was absolutely rabid about South Fremantle. Every time East Fremantle kicked a goal, she'd smack me on the head with her brolly. And then one time we won the Derby, she made me walk home. Oh, she wouldn't let me come home in the car.
I wonder, did you deserve that? Because knowing you, I think you would have gloated.
I was a rat bag. I was. Smug mode, obviously.
See, footy for me, it is a religion. I was born into a family that barracked for a particular team, and so for almost 44 years I've followed that team. I'm a member of that team. They continually break my heart.
Hmm. Do you want to name that team,
yeah,
Pete?
Oh, it's North Melbourne. Hmm. I'm a very proud member of the North Melbourne Football Club. At times I wonder why, but it is... There's something about going to the football. It's a bonding time. One of my brothers and I, we don't get along. You know, we don't see a lot of one another. But during winter, we go to the football. We talk rubbish. We drink beer. And it's sort of a... There's some sort of bizarre bonding thing goes on. Because I'm
mad if it's a family tradition, I can understand it. My parents were English, so they had no affiliation with any sporting people here. So that was probably why.
And I'm just mad for sporting. I can watch any sport. As long as it's not boxing... Or any sort of fighting, because I don't think that's sport. That's something that's done in a back alley outside the pub after 30 pints.
With a game of tour.
Yeah. And I can't watch anything where a car, motorcycle or some other sort of vehicle is going around a track.
Look, I accept that people like particular sports. I'm a bit choosy. I played a lot of sport as a kid.
Same.
And, you know, was really committed to my sport.
I was the announcer at the school sport.
Were you? I played state sports, so I played state basketball. Wow. And, you know, I was really, you know, that whole getting my sporty dark on. Yeah. No, I wasn't butch at all, but I was quite passionate. Look, I've developed a bit of an obsession with football since I moved to Victoria. And I'm going through some issues with the club that I support.
Yes.
And I've been considering...
Which would be?
St Kilda.
Yes.
And I've been considering changing.
Which is, it's to me, that's like saying, I'm sick of being a Catholic, I might become a Muslim.
The thing is, though, is that, well, you know, this is really interesting that you say that, Pete, because you are on the record supporting me if I wanted to support your team and go away from St Kilda.
Well, if you want to support my team, of course, it's an entirely different Catholic.
Okay, so we just want to name the hypocrisy here. Look, I don't understand that if you're, you know, born into it, I get it, you know, but for me, I didn't support any team when I came to Victoria. I chose St Kilda because it was the first place I ever visited in Victoria that I fell in love with. But I don't know that they're the team for me long term. I don't know that I can commit to them. And I'm not sure why people think that's such a bad thing. And the Twitter sphere will go nuts now, but I don't care.
Do send us your thoughts, Salt and Pepper Joy.
Is Serena a sellout?
Is Serena a sellout by wanting to change teams? Now, you're talking about wanting to change to Sydney. That would be a geographical decision as well.
I think they're a great team. I'm really impressed with the way they conduct themselves, and I really like the style of footy that they play. I like the way that they promote themselves in the press and the way that they interact with their fans. I think all of that stuff's gold. I think St Kilda are still a really good team. I just don't know that I've chosen well, and I'm probably going to stick with them, you know, because people are so horrible to me when I express wanting to make a change based on my own opinion, God forbid. And that, for me, is that religion of football in Victoria. I guess I'm kind of not there yet with that.
I'd like the Gold Coast Suns to come on a bit.
Would you?
Yes, I think
so. See, I think we should have had a team in Tasmania and the Territory before we had a second team in Queensland and a second team in New South Wales.
But we can have loads in Victoria.
Yeah, because it's a Victorian game. Mm. You know, the game was created here. All of those teams that have been here for 100 years. I don't believe should be kicked out of the competition. I just think
they're not kicking them out, though, are they?
No.
Extras.
But I think we should be looking at Tasmania's been a fertile recruiting ground for some of the best footballers. You know, Nick Riewoldt is a Tasmanian. there's a great many Tasmanians that have contributed to the game. And then, of course, there is the Territory, which have provided us with...
our Indigenous players.
Well, hundreds
prolific
of...
prolific talent out of
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. So why wouldn't you put a team in those places before you put a second one that a whole bunch of the AFL's money is going to? Draft picks, the whole
yeah,
deal.
I guess that's a fair call.
For a second team in both New South Wales, in Sydney, which is rugby league heartland, likewise Brisbane. So I find that a bit extraordinary, but I'll get off my soapbox now.
Right.
I'll stick with the soccer. And the cricket.
And are we excited about the Olympic Games?
Oh, I am.
No.
I actually want to take time off to watch it.
What?
Yeah, I love the Olympics.
But it'll be on at stupid o'clock in the morning.
I don't mind.
I have been known to set an alarm to get up and watch a running race at 3 o'clock in the morning. Or
I'm not so much taken with the athletics. It's not really, doesn't really tickle my fancy.
You like the ribbon dancing, don't you?
Of course.
The rhythmic. and the ball and the club.
I mean, what in the name of all that is holy is that about?
A few highlights.
Rhythmic gymnastics.
Oh, my God.
Rhythmic.
Kill me now. No, I like the thing about football that I don't like as much anymore is that I quite like it if there's a bit of a fight.
Oh, a bit of biffo, yes.
I like a bit of biffo. I don't promote violence in any way, shape or form.
Except on the sporting field.
Except on the sporting field. People are fighting for their
lions
right
to
win.
The Romans.
It's when they take the umpy out. That's when it's a really good biffo.
Well, you mentioned umpies. We've seen an increase. I think there's as many umpires on the field now as there are. Well, that's what they call them. Yellow maggots, green maggots, red maggots. Mm. Depends on what outfit they're wearing on the day. I'm normally a gentleman around ladies, unless you see me at the football. And
always around me.
I just go feral. I'm horrible at the football. I generally walk away from the game without a voice.
Yes.
And I've screamed all manner of obscenity and profanity at people who are just doing their job.
Yes.
Sadly, they do it poorly and with a great lack of consistency.
Well, interestingly, Pete and I have an embargo on any text messages or any phone calls or emails
before,
that are inflammatory.
Before, during, or after a game.
Well, no. And also when our teams are against each other.
Oh, right.
So, I've sent one before and I just think it said something like, cue happy dance, because our team won. And
there was a two-word response, and the second word may have been off.
Yeah, and I was just laugh. But, yeah, look, I think it's interesting. Football is, I don't know, maybe I'm just the Diet Coke of supporters, because clearly I have no commitment. I've been called the St Kilda schoolgirl because of, the way that I just throw things around in terms of my commitment and passion for the game.
I'm impressed.
And that could open up an entirely other kettle of fish that I think we might leave for a future show, Serena.
Why
your,
not?
Your job as a St Kilda schoolgirl. we'd love to hear your thoughts. Do send us a tweet, Salt N Pepper Joy. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us who your team is, and have you in fact switched teams? We're very keen to know. Noni, thank you as always.
Thanks, Nones.
Thank you. Love for coming in to talk about things that are important in the world. Safe journey.
The game changer. Bye. Bye-bye.
Australia's most amazing
gay and lesbian radio station.
Joy 94.9.
International news, Mr. Dillon.
It is, but before then, we just need to reiterate
something.
That the Noni segment we just played, Noni is again travelling, so that is a replay. And we thought it appropriate given the Olympics is on.
It is, it's our little homage to sport.
Yes,
and
it is.
Noni's shooting a new show up in Sydney.
Shooting a new show.
I know, I thought I was going to stumble on that because it's quite late. It's pushing, we're getting up to 10 to 12.
I actually thought you did stumble on it.
No, I didn't.
A new program.
No, don't let the censors think that I did. Go back, replay the audio. It's all good.
It's all good.
Okay.
Let's start with a story out of New Zealand. New Zealand have announced this week, and with support from the Conservative leader.
Fantastic.
Hello, Julia. Are you listening?
Little Fanta Pants. Mm.
They will be introducing legislation to formally recognise the legal status of marriage equality.
Yep, it's great news out of New Zealand.
It's terrific news out of New Zealand.
And so close to us, geographically, just across the ditch. There's really no good reason for the government to continue to deny.
A swam across the Dutch. Mm. The Family First organisation, which exists
in New
Zealand.
Oh, we love them. Yeah, we love them in a big way.
Yeah. They have set up a website called Protect Marriage. Well, it crashed in a matter of hours, actually, as a result of large-scale denial of service of TAC. But essentially, this website has been shut down because it essentially misses a few bits and pieces that it should have. But it was
like
launched.
Logic.
Yeah. It was launched to oppose MP Louisa Wall's same-sex marriage bill drawn recently from the ballot. They said that it was. Family First are claiming that. It is the largest unprecedented attack on a website in New Zealand's history, which is wrong because it's actually happened before via the Chinese. Anywho, end of the story is that the website in New Zealand has now been shut down because it could not sustain the amount of negative traffic it was receiving, and they're calling it hacking and all sorts of things. But essentially,
it's probably just feedback.
Yeah,
really saying yeah. this is not right, and you know the commentary reflects that. Tanzanian advocate found dead in home. This is a breaking news item.
Maurice Majumba
from coming out of Kenya and reported from Kenya. He's been found dead in his home in Dar es Salaam. So he was the coordinator of an HIV and injecting drug use training program. You know, look, he's been dead for days because a neighbour reported an unpleasant odour. And there is some conjecture here that given his gay and lesbian advocacy and the training and education that he offered to people, that this is
not an accident. He was actually strangled in his home. The update to this story, Stay Awake Network Activities, which is a Tanzanian LGBT advocacy organisation, says that he was strangled by an unknown person and the date of his death is not being confirmed. So he was a hardworking, honest and diligent worker, and it's very, very sad that this is the state of the world still in some of those African countries.
It's very sad. So look, the Democratic Party platform in
The United States.
Sorry, I had a brain freeze there. their platform drafting committee approved just Sunday gone some language changes which would endorse same-sex marriage in addition to other pro-gay, lesbian, bisexual and transgender positions as part of their platform.
Yep.
So the retiring gay representative Barney Frank, who sits on the committee, told Washington Blade on Monday that the 15-member panel has unanimously backed the inclusion of a marriage equality plank, as they refer to it. Isn't that interesting?
The Democrats have started planking.
They've started planking in a marriage equality way.
Sort of flavour, yes.
Look, it's really wonderful. The upshot of this is that this group of people are unanimously backing changes to platform that produce changes to the Marriage Act and the support for same-sex marriage. Wonderful news out of America.
Part of the... Now, as they go to the election later this year, as the Democrats go to the election, this is now essentially party policy in the United States, which is fantastic. Also fantastic is news coming out of Vietnam. They're going to be the first Asian nation to push for redefinition of marriage and considering drafting a law that would legalize same-sex marriage, which is terrific news because there's no other Asian nation that's made any sort of consideration. A number of Asian nations still have legislation against homosexuality.
And some criminal code stuff around homosexuality
as
well. Absolutely.
Places like Singapore still and Malaysia. Malaysia obviously with a high Muslim population.
This is coming out of the Justice Ministry, which I find really interesting.
Yeah.
And they're tackling it as a human rights issue, which is, you know, this is a particular position of mine, that it's less about marriage and more about the human rights and equality component. And, you know, they're acknowledging that, you know, homosexuals are numerous in Vietnam.
They're saying hundreds of thousands. They understand that there are hundreds of thousands of homosexuals in Vietnam. And so, you know, they live together without registering marriage. They may own property. And they're saying that they have to handle these issues illegally. So this is some really, really great news coming out of
Vietnam. Oh, we congratulate
Vietnam.
I'll be travelling there in the next 12 months.
Yes. Also, and I think there's another story here, Scotland.
Yes.
Has also announced that they will be the first part of the United Kingdom to introduce gay marriage after the SNP government announced plans to make the change just in this last week. They've confirmed they'll bring forward a bill on the issue, indicating the earliest ceremonies could take place by as little as the start of 2015.
Oh, look, well done. Oh. Those Scots are, you know, they're fantastic. Less fantastic is some response to the first ever gay kiss at an Olympic ceremony.
Yeah.
I'm loving this, right? So Danny Boyle, Oscar-winning British director, I'm a bit of a fan, he devised the opening ceremony, which was just this Saturday morning past, and it featured the first ever televised lesbian kiss, which originally aired in 1993. So this was beamed all around the world. So places like Saudi Arabia, one of the most homophobic countries in the world, have got their fury up about this. Okay. So
kind of got their hijabs in a knot.
Well, indeed. So, you know, what I love about it is that the Olympic ceremony didn't shy away from any of the other social issues. They covered them all: national health care, the trade union struggle, battle for women's rights, and it showed a clip of the British film Billy Elliot showing a young gay teen dressing up in girls' clothes. I loved that. So look, he got a bit of a pounding, Danny Boyle. and the two men in the studio, for those of you at home, have just exchanged some very quirky, dirty looks. It's
a little
quite
close.
Late. Honestly, homos, keep it clean. We're nearly there.
Just to talk about the opening ceremony and the political ramifications, Danny Boyle was given a very large purse of money, $40 million, to direct that extravaganza. I didn't enjoy it at all.
Yes, but your 5,000 tweets reflected that.
Yes, it may have. I did warn people that I would be tweeting. The extravaganza was spent a lot of Tory money. It's currently a Tory government. And a lot of what was represented, and this is some of the fallout as a result of this, was basically to say, all right, Tories, we've got all your money and now we're going to talk about all the things that you've
that you're
hated.
Gagging, that you're gagging.
So look, the NHS being one of them.
He's defended it and said the sensibility of the show is very personal and that not everybody will love it, but people will recognise it as being honest and truthful. And he feels very strongly, and he said, there's no bullshit in it. This is a quote, direct quote, and there is no point making either. Look, well done to him. Well done to him indeed.
There were reports of US channel NBC cutting the kiss. Now, they didn't cut the kiss, but they did cut the tribute to the victims of 2005 London bombings. Really odd.
It's very strange, and yet we would be expected to show all of the stuff around 9/11. It's kind of strange,
yeah, crazy.
Isn't it?
While Oxford, we're in the UK, yeah, this is another good story out of the UK.
They've rewritten the laws governing its strict academic dress code following some accusations that they were demonstrating a lack of fairness to their trans students. So under the new regulations, students are now taking exams and attending formal occasions. They'll no longer have to wear ceremonial clothing specific to their gender. So this is wonderful. So
I mean, men can,
you know, a trans guy can, you know, basically it allows you to dress as who you are. Before we wrap up and go to the Donald,
yes,
though, we had a quick email from the Truth Wins Out, John Becker.
Yes, correct.
He has a friend. He's broken some news in the US about a 26-year-old woman working for the Salvation Army. She's been sacked for being bisexual.
And so it continues.
And so it continues. We're going to keep following the Salvos and continue to hold them to account, and we'll probably get her to chat to us in the very near future to see how that plays through.
And we're also working on a bit of a discussion with the God Hates Fags people.
We
with
are
the
indeed.
With the Westboro Baptist Church.
We've had an agreement from the Westboro Church to enter into an interview with us. It won't be live. It will be pre-recorded because of the time difference.
We'll They're also in a, probably require an edit.
No, we'll play it straight. I think we'll play it with a straight bat the way we do with the Sallys, you know.
Yeah, true.
Turn the mic on, turn the record on, record it, done. So we're waiting on confirmation of that. We're bringing that to you very soon.
Let's
hit the Donald.
Hit the Donald.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
Time for the Donald, Pete, our weekly award to our Tool of the Week. Who are the nominations?
Well, I almost felt like standing after that fanfare because that was from Will and Kat's wedding, and I did watch some of the equestrian where their cousin Zara was competing.
I do like the horses, Pete. I
yes,
like
but
to
it's
watch
not sport.
Them.
It's a bit of gadding about on it.
Oh, I think it is sport. I don't think cycling's a sport.
Yeah, no, we've
and
had
I
that
talked
discussion.
About that a few weeks ago, and I got a few cranky tweets about that, I've got to say. I stand by it. It's up there with netball.
Right. Now, the nominees for tonight's Donald, Federal Immigration Minister Chris Bowen, who has said that he doesn't support and won't be supporting equal marriage at the vote in the House of Reps. Ed Husic, who is the politician from the outer seat of Chifley, who is also, whilst defending us, doesn't support and won't support. Another local one, the Also Foundation, I think.
National nominees.
Yeah,
this week.
Nobody international. So it's not going to cost me a fortune in postage to send the award.
No, the trophies. I'm glad to announce that the trophy is going to be local. Where if we can track down the Also Foundation, if we can track them down,
I'm
we
sure
will
they've
offer
got a post
them.
Box we can.
We will offer them this week's Donald Award because they have been fiscally irresponsible.
Oh.
We feel a tremendous amount of compassion for the legacy that's been destroyed as a consequence
Correct.
Of that. So I'm afraid the Also Foundation does get our Donald Award this week.
Great show, Serena Ryan.
Great show, Pete Dillon. Let's jump in the car and get home. Thanks for listening. Listening, everyone.
And thanks, Greg. It's nice to have you make a nice little appearance back on the buttons.
Oh, the button monkey's back.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Everything's a little clearer in the light of day. And we know the night is always going to be here anyway. Thinking of you's working up my appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together make the sparks ignite. And the thought of loving you is getting so excited. Stop.
rockets in flight. Afternoon delight.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.